Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey, everybody. I don't want to freak anybody out, but we're already planning for 2020. So I wanted to just share with you, or have Carla share with you, about some of the things that we have going on with our summit events in 2020.
So our summits are probably one of the most popular events that Consultant Connect does. They hit the markets in Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, and New York City, where small groups of economic developers go and meet with site consultants. Very, very popular events. They sell out every year, which is why we are releasing the dates for 2020. They are just now hitting the scene. If you would like to get in on a summit next year, you have to move quickly. So let myself or Cynthia from our team know right away if you want to get in on one of those summits for 2020. The updated summit schedule is on our website at consultantconnect.org. And you can reach out to myself, Carla at consultantconnect.org, or Cynthia at cynthia@consultantconnect.org. if you are interested in a summit. But I cannot say this enough, that move quickly. Even if we don't invoice you till January, we need to know if you want a seat for 2020, because those seats move very, very fast. They are hot commodities.
I felt so bad turning people away this year, and I don't want that to be you. So if you want to come, just let us know which dates you want. There's only a handful of seats available for each city. So please just let us know what works for your schedule.
Welcome to America's Jobs Team podcast. Today, I talk with Danny Chavez, who is the Senior Vice President at McKinney Economic Development Corporation, where he leads their development team. He is also the co-founder of a mobile application development company. Danny is full of energy and great advice, so let's listen in. Well, again, like I say, thanks for taking the time today. I really wanted to dive right in and, you know, kind of start off with, you know, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
I think there's a lot of things kind of driving leadership challenges and changes and kind of whole scale industry change. And this is cross-functional, so it's not just in one industry in particular, but I think generational change is something that is really a big challenge for leaders today, sometimes maybe even to stay relevant amongst a younger workforce that is interested in, you know, taking more time off, also, you know, paying back college debt, these types of things, understanding these issues that prior generations didn't have, that current generations in the workforce that are up and coming do, I think is a huge challenge, and one that I think definitely can be solved and, you know, understood through a various different part of ways. But I also think that there's a change in the workforce want and need, just like every generation, where, you know, prior generations were very, let's, you know, 24/7, go, go, go. That's just the American way. I feel like leadership changes today really focus in on the workforce demographic that is more interested in, you know, having self-care, time to do things, that understanding of what the workforce wants, as well as like sustainable practices for a lot of companies. You see some of these massive, you know, food companies, processed food companies, soda companies, whatever, having to change a lot of their business models for their bottom line to meet customer demand, as well as to recruit workforce, you know, to make sure that they're a sustainable practice. And I think one of the biggest challenges in the world right now is information security. I think leaders in executive positions all over the world are constantly staying up at night trying to figure out what type of cybersecurity issues or information assurance issues that their company might be facing. And that could be from a small to medium sized business, an individual, or Fortune 5. Everybody's concerned about personal security and making sure that there's great solutions out there to meet the needs of what's going on across industries.
Yeah, boy, you mentioned so many challenges that leaders are facing right now. And I think you hit the nail on the head that there's just so many different things that you have to be concerned about. What are some things that you're doing to make sure that you stay relevant in those types of areas, and that you don't fall behind, and that you do continue to stay progressive?
So even just with, you know, the progressive take on it, I mean, I think it really just comes back to making sure as a leader, you're keeping an open mind to the changing world. I think that's something that is still a challenge as, you know, the world becomes increasingly more globalized. It becomes smaller. Folks do business in all the cities all over the world. I think, you know, an interesting thing is making sure that you're informed and educated of what's going on, or like from an economic development standpoint, I'll bring it more to a local industry. To me, a standpoint is making sure that what best practices are going on in all these cities that you see are growing and those that are not growing. What are they doing differently? What's changing? It's not necessarily just best practice to say, oh, we want to recruit jobs anymore. It's about making sure that workforce wants to live in your community. That it kind of covers the gambit. You know, it's more about how can I place make? How can I make sure that what type of product I'm selling is authentic versus me telling you how great whatever community I'm representing is, and you, you know, coming here and saying, oh, well, you know, it's a nice place, but really backing it up and seeing the change, the open-mindedness to what consumer demands are from a retail standpoint or what corporate's looking for as well, and that talent attraction standpoint. I think that's driving a lot of what's going on in my industry right now. And it's something to make sure that you're on top of as a leader to, and it's incumbent on you to stay relevant in that regard.
I think that's really great advice. You know, I want to shift gears a little bit. I know you've been in the industry for quite some time. You've been around a lot of great leaders. What's one behavior, though, that you've seen that almost derail a leader's career? What's something that you would want to guard against as a leader?
Yeah, I think authenticity kind of goes unsaid a lot of times. I think being an authentic leader, someone who can be trustworthy and really backs up what they're saying as far as employee development, I mean, that's very important. Specifically to someone like me who really wants to grow in the industry, who really wants to take my career to the next level. I've been in a couple situations where authenticity was really something that was called into question as far as, you know, trajectory for growth, trajectory for, you know, personal attainment, even from a project specific basis and the amount of workload that was going on. And I think, you know, what I've taken from a lot of my colleagues and even some of my mentors is the ones who have really become very successful at, you know, leading folks, being good, you know, what you would consider a leadership position, that authenticity factor, getting to know your people and your people getting to know the fact that they can trust you. I think it goes unsung, and that makes a great quality for a leader to have that standpoint. I think it's huge to make sure that, you know, you gain the trust of your employees, coworkers, even folks who you answer to, whether it be, you know, back again to the local answer and economic development, whether it be, you know, the mayor or the city council, or if your structure is a little bit different and you're answering to like a board of stakeholders. I feel like being authentic, them being able to rely on you, makes you a all around better leader.
Sure. And that authenticity, you know, both in the good and the bad, you know, we talk a lot about being able to be vulnerable and being able to, you know, share the failures and share the, you know, the problems in your life, that that's really how you gain the trust of your community, of your organization, of your friends, family. It's so important to be able to share the things that aren't good, because now in today's, you know, world of social media, we're always posting about, you know, our vacations or the new, you know, job that we got or whatever. But we don't post the dirty stuff in our lives. And I think that's really important when it comes to authenticity. So I think that's really great advice. You know, Danny, you mentioned earlier about that the workforce is getting younger, and, you know, there's a lot of leaders, there's a lot of young people that are getting into leadership roles early on in their career, earlier than they were before. What is some advice that you would give to someone that's going into a leadership position for the first time?
I think this is one of the most important things. I'm actually going through this right now. I think that you have to get the correct info and kind of that tribal knowledge from the folks who have already been there. You have to go to the people who have been on boots on the ground doing in that community, doing the hard work, lifting, you know, the heavy weight before, to learn what they've done, be open to the successes, the challenges, and some of the failures that might have come from, you know, some of the practices they were implementing at the time. But I think most certainly just getting that information to make sure that when you come in, you're not saying, oh, hey, you know, person who might be older than me or anybody else, you know, it's kind of my way or the highway. In most situations, you'll find that you're coming into a very great team. There was an opportunity to have an opening on this staff. And the fact that you're going to be leading folks, you need to learn who they are, get to know what type of communication styles that they have, as well as learning what exactly, you know, they feel is most important to grow in the community that they've been in, obviously, for a lot longer. And I'm bringing that more to a local level in economic development specifically, more so my industry of focus. But I think just in general, as a leader, you have to make sure that you're learning best practices from the company or the organization that you're going into and really doing your due diligence to make sure you're learning the most from the people who have been doing it for the longest time. And then using your expertise to make sure that their strengths can be enhanced. You can bring more to the team. Goes back to the authenticity that here I'm hey, I'm here to help. I'm here to make sure that we're firing on all cylinders and bringing the best possible product that we can.
Yeah. And it sounds so easy, right? You just need to ask questions. It's almost that simple. You know, if you ask the right questions and you're able to get as much knowledge as you can, you can have the most success. So I think that's brilliant, but it's so simple, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the challenges that come along with that is, you know, people will be people. Some people who feel they get into a leadership position, obviously, maybe they change a little bit. They don't do the little things that it took to get them there in the first place. They forget about it. One thing, kind of going back to the question you asked earlier about qualities, some things that I've seen, you know, kind of really challenge folks in leadership roles or managing people for the first time is, you know, the kind of delusions of grandeur. You know, people get lost in the stars and that can really derail a team pretty quickly. And something that I think is a huge challenge to leaders all around. You know, we're all people, and I think working together in the current workforce environment, making that very clear that, hey, we're here to work as a team. I think team building is massively important these days.
Yeah, it's kind of not letting your title define who you are. You know, I mean, it's not changing who you are just because you have a different title. I think that's really important. So, Danny, this question, you know, I know is gonna hit home. How do you know when it's time to change jobs, careers, communities? What kind of advice would you have for someone that, you know, is maybe kind of going through that stage of life?
Yeah. So really, I think it's important now in today's workforce for leaders also kind of keep with the common theme to, you know, understand that talent today, young talent is going to want to have a year to 4 years in positions to grow. And once those growth opportunities kind of cease, and this could happen anywhere between that 1 to 4 year timeline, if there's no pathway for improvement, personal growth, there's not policies in place for personal development or anything like that, education benefits, enhancements, whatever you want to call them, most people will get the hint very quickly that they need to move on. And again, to a tightly skilled labor market or a tight labor market for skilled workers, I think it's important really to build within your company policies to make sure that you have the availability to boost up folks, to keep your talent, because folks will move in a heartbeat. I think when you come to a decision to change communities or opportunities, you're really looking for opportunity to grow. In my personal experience, when I saw the writing on the wall that there was no pathway to have, you know, a higher position, or it wasn't going to happen in the timeline that met my professional need. Fortunately for us, being in this generation, being in a tight labor market and the need for talent being so great, there's a lot of opportunities right now. It hasn't always been that way, but right now it is. And I think there was a really huge opportunity in my personal trajectory for the various roles that I've held, just knowing that, hey, the more you linger, the less likely you are to be to move. So always kind of being proactive and understanding that, you know, very quickly when there's not the pathway there, it doesn't take very long to figure that out. And I feel that understanding yourself, having the self-awareness for not just personal, but the awareness that the organization might not be going that way, and it has nothing to do with you. Sometimes it's budgetary constraints. Sometimes it's, if you're working in a startup, you know, it's just financial constraints. It's the ability to expand, just knowing when the right opportunity is, not just jumping to jump, but really going through understanding what exactly is at stake, what you could lose, what you could gain, what your trajectory is, and really trying to think 5 to 10 steps ahead regarding the outcome of any decision. And I think if you go through those processes, then you really kind of understand what exactly you're trying to achieve. And you come out as a better professional, I believe.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. You know, a person can only bump their head on the ceiling so many times before they start looking for a higher ceiling, right?
Sure.
So I want to give you an opportunity to brag, you know, real quick. What so far in your professional career, what are you the most proud of?
You know, aside from the projects and, you know, the industry that I'm in economic development, I mean, just it's most important to me that creating jobs for folks who will never know who created this job or, you know, help bring these jobs to the community, They'll never know that. And it's kind of that interesting thing about this industry that you're working for the communities that you represent and really the betterment and the successes, the multiplier effect really just comes from, okay, this company says they're going to create 200 jobs here in the community. You'll never meet any of those 200 people, hardly ever. And that's just kind of an amazing thing to be in this industry, the community benefit and the placemaking to really drive community growth. It's a pretty outstanding feat. So creating jobs for folks who will never know, and then being able to go through these processes really kind of at a young age, get into some of these executive roles through the different projects that I've worked on. And there's been a lot of great companies and a lot of great people I've met, but really being able to go back to my colleagues, my friends, and become a mentor and help them through their careers as well. Because in economic development, we have the benefit of seeing so many different industries, so many different career trajectories, so many different, you know, different types of companies where you get to learn their culture, you get to learn that, and you get to pass that knowledge on to other folks who are interested in working with these types of companies or even just who want to get into that professional workforce environment. And those are the most rewarding aspects and the best things that I feel that are good for what I feel about this. But I definitely think that, you know, working some of these projects with some of the amazing companies that I've been able to have or had the fortune of working with has just been completely unique. And it's something that I've really enjoyed.
I think that's so cool. You know, when I look at the economic development profession, it seems so American. You know, we're here to create jobs. You know, we're here to build better lives for our families. What does it mean to you to be an American?
I think open-mindedness and trying new things, that there's not just one answer to everything, but the status quo is something that should always be challenged. I feel like that's the most American thing ever. You think of all the different icons through history, our American history, whether it be through cinema or through, you know, novels or literature. Challenging the status quo is probably the most American thing that I think can possibly be. And the ability to keep an open mind about it, that there's not just one answer to every single problem or solution or one way of thinking about it. It's completely a challenge that has kind of gotten away from, I think, a lot of the American media, the American voter base, where there's not just one outcome to many different problems and there's many different solutions to things. I think keeping an open mind to what is attainable, achievable, and what we're able to go to in the future as far as challenging the status quo, I think the sky is the limit. That ceiling is always high in America. And I think being an American is understanding that all those things are possible here, as well as the fact that looking out for other Americans is something that can't be a lost cause. It has to be something that we continue to do. Keeping an open mind is something that has to remain, and being able to challenge the status quo and adjust to changes that come through our country and this time of need. I mean, I think it's a very interesting point to make.
Well, Danny, I can't thank you enough for sharing your thoughts on leadership today. We're really excited for you and your new opportunity. The city of McKinney, Texas is very lucky to have you. So we certainly wish you the best, and we can't wait to follow your career moving forward.
Thank you much, y'all. I really appreciate it, Nick.
Wow, Danny is such a cool guy with so much solid insight. I'm so glad he was on the podcast. I hope you took away some of the insights that he shared. Hey, everyone, next week we're going to be talking with Mike Harvey, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Northwest Arkansas Council. And he's been with Northwest Arkansas for 8 years out of his 24 years of experience in economic development. And he has done a lot of different things in his career, including helping to build a lot of operations at different economic development organizations before he landed at Northwest Arkansas. He's experienced in all things economic development, including a lot of workforce development solutions for job seekers and employers. And he's just a really great source of advice. I hope you enjoy next week's interview with Mike and take away a lot of little nuggets that you can use in your own community and in your own leadership journey. So tune in next week for Mike Harvey at Northwest Arkansas Council.